Today is Monday, February 28th. Good morning. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Nick Eicher.
And I'm Mary Reichard. Next up, the World History Book. Today, a president creates the first national park. Another outlaws the international slave trade. And poor leadership in France leads to the outbreak of religious war. Here's senior correspondent Katie Galtney.
Richard Nixon famously said the bloodiest wars in history have been religious wars. One such example, the Renaissance-era French Wars of Religion. Those began March 1, 1562, with the massacre of innocent Huguenots in Vassy, France. Earlier in the 16th century, followers of Protestant reformer John Calvin faced state-sanctioned persecution. Under the Catholic-led government, so-called Protestant heretics could lose their property, livelihood, and even lives for adhering to Calvin's teachings. The ruling class in France saw forced Catholicism as a way to concentrate and maintain power. On that particular day 460 years ago, Vassy was a royal town, the seat of the powerful Guise family. Francis II, the Duke of Guise, a Catholic, gathered loyal forces and set upon a large group of Protestants at a worship service. They burst into the congregation, killing those in their path. Gordon Conwell Seminary professor Ryan Reeves described that day.
Now, these are honest pastors and lay folks. Any murders and slaughters, some say high double digits, somewhere around 80. Other estimates go as high as 200 folks. But it's a staggeringly large number of unarmed lay folks that are killed, and roughly 100 are wounded.
Worshippers had been singing the Psalms in French as the attack began. The assault went on for an hour. Word spread quickly, and more violence broke out. Over the course of the next four decades, 3 million people in the Kingdom of France died because of these civil wars. Historians consider it the second deadliest religious war in European history, second only to the 30 Years' War in Germany. Henry IV's proclamation of the Edict of Nantes in 1598 finally offered Huguenots rights and protections, quelling the violence. And we'll move from persecution of one group of people to that of another. In the early 1800s, the slave trade was booming in the United States.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, your attention, I beg. As advertised, we have a fine cargo. Choice, healthy slaves recently...
In the early 1800s, the slave trade was booming in the United States. Historians estimate between 6 and 11 million Africans were brought to America as slaves between the 16th and 19th centuries. By 1775, Africans made up 20% of the population of the 13 colonies, second only to Americans of English origin. On March 2, 1807, Congress approved a bill banning the importation of slaves from outside the United States. Then President Thomas Jefferson, a slave owner, pushed forward the act to abolish the importation of slaves, calling participation in slave trade violations of human rights. While perhaps well-intentioned, the change still made up a sort of cognitive dissonance, according to Professor Eric Foner of Columbia University. He told NPR host Michelle Martin that saying it's okay to own slaves as long as they're not imported is a bit like animal rights activists saying it's okay to own pets but not livestock.
And they made that distinction between the right of property in slaves where slavery existed and the right to seize people and ship them across the ocean, which they said was really illegitimate.
The punishment for violating the law, prison time or a fine. But few actually enforced those measures. Smugglers saw opportunities to illegally import Africans as slaves, and the domestic slave trade got a boost too. Despite loopholes and minimal enforcement, the 1807 Act of Congress was a step in the right direction. Homegrown slavery increased as existing slaves had children, but the act vastly decreased the number of kidnappings on the African continent associated with transatlantic slavery. The evil institution of slavery persisted for six more decades until the 13th Amendment abolished it in 1865. And for our final entry of the day, we'll turn to a wonder in the western United States. On March 1, 1872, President Ulysses S. Grant signed an act making Yellowstone America's first national park. Archaeological evidence dates civilization in the area back thousands of years, but the first organized expedition took place in 1870. Explorers were stunned by the wildlife and plant diversity. The park is around 2 million acres, most of that raw wilderness. Nearly 300 species of birds and 65 species of mammals reside there. A giant reserve of magma beneath the park powers some of its most memorable attractions, like the geyser Old Faithful that shoots out thousands of gallons of water each hour. While Yellowstone was the first, there are now 59 total national parks in the United States. Yellowstone hosts millions of guests a year, reaching a high of over 4 million guests in 2016. But if you're planning a trip for the park's 150th birthday, be mindful of the wildlife. Prior to 1970, feeding the bears was actually encouraged. Park officials changed the rules after facing grisly consequences. While rare, the most recent bear-related death in park history occurred in August of 2015.
For you, old faithful pal.
That's this week's World History Book. I'm Katie Galtney.
For you, old faithful pal of mine.